and welcome to the latest edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast, all about Ipswich Town, Ipswich Town related nonsense, brought to you in association with johnbanks.co.uk. I'm your host, Emma Markey. This is going to be a tough one, and boys, straight away, can we have real talk? Kings of Anglia as a name, how much longer can we continue with that? Because Town are going down, Norwich are going up. That's going to be awkward, isn't it? Before we get to that, let me introduce you, of course. Stuart Watson, Stephen, the doctor, the man who doesn't know the words to the German national anthem.
He really doesn't.
Do you?
Absolutely.
All of them?
Well, I know the start, mate. I don't just go Uber, Uber, Deutschland, Uber. And the man who does know the words and has probably been to Germany a lot more than anyone else listening to this podcast, unless you live in Germany, Hutch.
True.
Andy Warren.
Very true. You don't know the words. You do not know the words. Yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah. Good, good. So, yeah, Kings of Anglia podcast. Do we continue with
that? Well, we can't change the name, surely.
We can't really, can we? I mean, it started life, this podcast, didn't it? As Sleeping Giants, all those years ago, Andy. And that was a general sports chat.
Right, well, yeah, this probably needs some explanation. That we decided to rebrand because we thought just calling it the East Anglian Daily Times football podcast or something. It wasn't really sexy enough.
Yeah.
And we needed to give it something that people could
get behind
a little bit.
And yeah. But this was done after, not long after they'd started the season with 5 wins in a row.
That's right.
At the start of last
Kings
season.
Kings of Anglia.
Yeah.
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 And the launch of the magazine.
Well, Sleeping Giants, to take it one step further back, was literally just, we just threw around football cliches.
Well, it wasn't even football, was it? It was general sports chat, if you remember, because Andy Warren, to my left here, hosted it, and we just talked about general sports stuff, didn't we?
Yeah.
He had a few questions, and then after you left, it became Ipswich Town Insights.
But people misinterpreted that as Sleeping Giants in terms of us calling Ipswich Town Sleeping Giants, and that wasn't the intention at that time. But anyway, we soon realised we should bin that and get something different when it was going to become Ipswich Town only. And then Andy's fiddling with a little nozzle.
Fiddling
on
the knob.
Is that alright?
Just having a little fiddle on the microphone, sure.
Yeah, make yourself comfortable.
Well, how did that come about? We threw some ideas.
I won't lie to you. I wasn't here. That was a terrible name for a podcast.
Oh, you're just throwing your hands up.
What's a terrible name?
Ipswich Town Insights.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ipswich Town Insights. Yeah. No,
dreadful.
But Kings of Anglia, obviously, it came on board with the Kings of Anglia magazine. A feeling of positivity around the club. The fact they had, at that point, beaten Norwich more times than Norwich had beaten them. Is that still the case?
No. Is it new the case?
So Norwich have now beaten Town more times, though, or is it equal?
I believe they've now overtaken.
Oh, shit.
Narrowly.
That's awkward. So, technically not the Kings of Anglia anymore. Going to be playing a league apart next season.
I'm going to say it just about still holds, because if you're the king of something, is that... Do you kind of reign forever? I'm using
it's the lineage. It's the lineage, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, the history
at Ipswich Town will forever mean that Town are Kings of Anglia.
So until Norwich win the FA Cup and a European trophy, we're fine.
We're absolutely still the Kings of Anglia.
Is that the deal?
I think that's
just because they're going to get a few quid and be in the Premier League for the third time since Ipswich were last there. Does that make them the king?
Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. You tell them, Stu.
Two of England's greatest ever managers. A glittering history.
Don't want to be there anyway.
Exactly.
Sounds rubbish.
Exactly. So that's that sorted out. We can carry on with Kings.
So we're all right.
It's a rubbish name. We're all aware of that. Let's just gloss over it.
But it's our name.
It's our name,
and we own it.
And we've got the Kings of Anglia.
Just throw it KOA and forget what it actually means.
Boys, before we get on to the football, which obviously wasn't great again at the weekend, it's been an international break. Stewie, I know you particularly enjoyed international break because you weren't here much at all.
Yeah.
And could we bother to cover the game at the weekend either?
No.
Which I fully understand.
No, I'm out.
But what have you been up to, Stewie? You've been down in Cornwall, have you?
I've been doing all sorts. Played a bit of golf with my old man. Went down to Cornwall, where the in-laws are, which was very nice. Had unusually good weather down there as well.
Yeah.
He's looking tan, didn't he?
He is looking tan.
I said this to him the other day.
You can tell you've had a bit of a break, can't you? He's sort of smiling and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because normally he is miserable.
Normally at this point you go, well, it's because we do this on a Monday morning and you go, what have you been up to, lads? And I've normally just been working all weekend. You've come in all fresh.
Yeah, well, from your Sundays, but there you go.
Well, every other.
Every other Sunday, so...
Yeah, no, all good. And then I went to a good friend's wedding in London yesterday, and you can probably hear from my voice. I was enjoyable. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet it's better than watching town. Hutchie, what have you been up to? Because you've been working, mate. You've been working, basically.
Just been working, mate.
So you've been off.
When you do the double weekend shift, this is what it does to you.
Just working, mate.
Sorry, Hutchie.
Working, mate.
It's also been Mother's Day. We've all got mothers, and you two are the parents of two young children. So was Mother's Day a good day in your household? What did you do? I know you were working, mate. Yes, but surely young Jessica got Vicky a card.
We made her a card. Yes, we did. We got the paints out on Saturday before I went to Portman Road.
Yeah.
Basically painted our kitchen.
Yeah.
Various colours. She touched herself on the head after I'd put paint on her hands to do a handprint, and that was a nightmare to get off. But other than that, working.
And Stewie,
the panic of doing like homemade cards and stuff is real, because it's all fun while you're doing it, but then there's that moment at the end where you're not quite sure, like, you want to hold your child, but you've got to rush to get some wipes or some, you know, and then literally you can switch off for 2 seconds and there is paint all over the sofa.
It's ruined your house.
Everything, yeah. So
did I make a card? Did she make mummy breakfast in bed, anything like
that? No. I was I stayed at the wedding Saturday night, and then I got quite hungover and I had to drive through traffic, so I just about recovered in terms of going out for a little bit in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Your voice is getting a bit croaky.
I got away with it.
It's getting very gravelly. From my point of view, Benson managed to make a car for his mum, my beautiful wife.
Is that a thing, pets, mothers?
Absolutely, it is, my friend, because let me tell you, I'm not having kids, I don't want kids. So Benson is my boy, he's my little boy, and therefore Liz is his mum, and he makes her a card every year. He's very clever because he hasn't got any thumbs, doesn't know how to use a phone, but yeah, he made a card, it was lovely.
Well, how did he make it?
Using me as a medium, obviously, he told me what he'd like.
He channeled his desire for a card.
Because obviously now, back in the day, Hutchie, Tiger was your child, before you actually
had
a child.
Well, yeah, he's not my biological son.
I know there's not particularly any biological.
I never really called him my child, I'll be honest. He's a good lad, though. He's a top boy.
We get this then, because obviously, you've got kids, I haven't got kids, I've just got a dog. It's just a dog.
He's a good dog. He's a great dog.
He's got a massive following on Instagram, by the way, boys. We're now getting paid for Instagram posts, and we're getting free stuff sent to us all the time. So, who's winning that?
Very true.
True.
Before we get to the football, I know you're not a fan of general banter, so from now on, this section is going to be called catch up. I also want to ask you both a question before we move on. Something you've enjoyed over the past week. Tell me about it. Let's relate. Here's something I've enjoyed: Netflix Losers. Have you watched that?
No.
That's really good. It's like 25, 35 minutes of a story about a sporting loser. Jean Van der Velde, you'll know all about him. The golfer.
Put his ball in the little ravine,
there's
didn't
he? A really tremendous episode. If you don't watch anything else, it's all about Torquay being safe from relegation to the conference and potentially oblivion in 1987, because a police dog bit a player on the leg, and that added injury time, they managed to score a goal which kept them in the Football League. Really good.
That's not Jimmy Glass, is it? That's
Carlisle.
That's Carlisle, sorry, yeah, I was getting confused.
So I highly recommend that. What have you been enjoying? Other than, don't say work.
I've really been enjoying my work.
No,
yeah.
Come on, what else do you do? You've been watching the NBA?
I haven't actually. I've had a very, very NBA-less couple of weeks.
Good. So you've enjoyed nothing.
It's slipped into a dark Ipswich Town depression.
Have I enjoyed? Come back to me, Stu. What have you enjoyed other than too much booze?
I was very much looking forward to Line of Duty's return last night.
Yeah.
But then I fell asleep about 10 minutes in. I was done from the weekend.
That was fantastic, though, wasn't it?
It was good.
That was really good.
But let's not talk about it for the poor lad.
No, you
can watch that tonight.
Yeah, I kind of woke up at the end, so I know what happens at the end, but I didn't really see the build-up to it, which was quite annoying.
Can I just point out something I'm not enjoying? This is for your benefit, dear listeners. The new mic that we've got is so powerful, it picks up lots and lots of ambient noise. So Hutchie, having heard this last week, or the week before, has turned off the aircon in here, and essentially it's now a sweat box. I'm wearing a jumper. I'm going to have to strip off at some point. Stewie's actually unclothing himself now. If there's at any point I pass out from heat, just take it away, boys. Just step over the mic.
It's really hot.
It is really hot. So I don't enjoy that. Hutchie, is there anything you've enjoyed before?
The heat in here.
Like the heat?
No, I really don't like the heat. Like,
yeah.
on. Were you both here at work on Friday?
No, I was off.
My word, Friday. I walk to work in the mornings, and I suffer from a sweaty back.
Because you wear a backpack.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I think I just suffer from a sweaty back in general.
Is that a condition? I'm not aware of that.
Well, I've got it. My word, my shirt when I got to work, you didn't see it because I very cleverly managed to dry it off. But my shirt when I got here on Friday was disgusting. Horrible.
Yeah.
So I came today in different clothes.
Wear a coat.
Course, came in different clothes and got changed in the shower when I got here this morning.
Did you use the shower?
Didn't use the shower, but I just came in different clothes. Brought my shirt with me, put it on when I got here.
Apparently, it's going to be go back to winter, isn't it, for us this week?
Is it? I'm enjoying that because I love winter. I love cold.
This part of
spring,
the year.
Spring is my favourite season, if you're asking.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that chat now, boys.
Delayed Ipswich chat.
Yeah. Stewie, you were enjoying yourself at a wedding. I was doing other stuff.
Very pointy, aren't you?
I'm very pointy. When we eventually start filming this, people will see how pointy I am. It's part of my hosting, presenting, professional broadcasting background. Actually, you were at the game.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
Well, it wasn't bad. It was just
more of the same.
And rightly or wrongly, we'd come to expect a little bit better than over the course of the last month.
At least a 1-1.
Yeah, they can't score goals. They let in ones that opposition don't have to work overly hard for.
Yeah,
and that just doesn't. It just doesn't. It doesn't mix. You don't win games if that's the way your football team works, and this is how that one was. There were a few chances. They had a couple off the line. Quillan Edwards and Caden Jackson had two off the line in the last 5 minutes or so of the first half, but they didn't threaten enough, and they let in two goals, which weren't great. They were decent goals from Hull, but they weren't great. And this was kind of a throwback to December kind of time, where Ipswich were being beaten comfortably by teams who didn't have to work as hard as you might hope.
Mm.
And we'd come to expect a bit better. We're hoping for better of late, but back a few steps backwards with this one.
Steve, I'm sure you were pleased to have missed that one. Obviously, the main story that came out from surrounding the game was quotes from Mr. Paul Lambert post-match, which were interesting, to say the least. I've got them here, because obviously we're going to talk about them. We've got quite a lot of questions about it in the mailbag, so I'll bring those questions forward as well. So basically, there was a quote: if the club don't want me to stay here, then that's no problem, I'll go. I don't have any problem whatsoever. Whoever gets the job at the end of the season, if I'm not here, you've got an incredible club behind you, and incredible support behind you. Wait and see what happens at the end of the season, wait and see.
Well, it's not the first time we've heard Paul use this sort of vague cryptic language in terms of everyone's going to see what happens in the next few months. Mm. It'll all become clear in the next few weeks and months. I feel like we've known Paul enough by now to... I might be spectacularly wrong, but I don't read too much into that. I think that's just the way he talks, and it's probably not been particularly helpful at the weekend in causing a bit of confusion at a time when the only thing that people were clinging on to was that bit of stability. But I mean, Andy's spoken to enough people off the back of those comments over the weekend to kind of allay such fears.
Yeah, I spoke to a few people who I think the feeling from the club was surprise at these comments, and I think that goes a long way to, like you've just said, maybe that's just the way that he talks. But there was some surprise at any suggestion that anything was about to change in regard to his future from everybody that I spoke to within the club and close to Paul. Surprise at that. And the feeling very much, and the expectation is very much, that the future's being built for. They're watching transfer targets. They've organised pretty much a trip, 10-day trip to Germany in July. Very much the ball is in motion for setting things up for the future. Paul's led the way ensuring that young players' contracts are dealt with early and are under contract for a long time.
Mm.
Luke Chambers' contract was done, everything was sorted there, and yeah, everything is with the expectation that Paul Lambert will be the Ipswich Town manager going forward, and that he's still committed to that going forward.
I think emotion of a post-match interview has come into play here. We've seen it with managers sometimes, that post, I've said on this podcast loads of times, that what you get post-match from a manager is chalk and cheese to what you get on a Thursday lunchtime when it's, you know, they're talking without the emotion of the game still in them. We saw it with Paul Hurst at Exeter earlier in the season, and those, and how those comments kind of rippled around the training ground, and that was different because there was extra time and they had to get a flight, and so Hurst was literally speaking seconds after
that,
the final whistle.
That was within like 2 or 3 minutes, wasn't it?
And we've talked before about how he did the club one, and that was quite strong, and then it calmed down a little by the time he talked to us and other people. Maybe this was the case with Paul Lambert at the weekend. He was just hurting that he knows, for all the positives that he keeps having to go to the well of positives about how well they're playing and it's a transitional period, he knows that the results, the pure results, aren't good enough. And this is a man who's, you know, look at it from his individual perspective, you know, he was at Stoke from January to the summer and didn't get many results there as well. He's had a pretty torturous year in terms of results, and maybe just that line of questioning, a very fair line of questioning, and I thought the way Brenner put it to him was, you know, fair, was just, you know, and maybe he just misinterpreted it a little bit, and that was just his own sort of feeling in the gut.
I think that's what's happened. The thing that caused the worry is that the first set of quotes, no problem, that's a response to a question, but there was the opportunity to clarify was presented to him, and it kind of just got a little bit more vague. But I think that's just taking a line of questioning the wrong way, if I'm honest, and I don't think anything is expected to change, and that's a good thing in my opinion, because the most notable thing from the game for me was the crowd in the last 10 minutes. It was really flat at Portman Road. Like, the atmosphere has been good recently, the lads from Blue Action did their best to get things going, but in the last 10 minutes there was like the, first of all there was like the K Sera Sera whatever will be we're going to Shrewsbury song, which was amusing, followed by Bob Marley Three Little Birds Every Little Thing's Gonna Be Alright, and that was that was just a song of acceptance that we're going down, but we accept Paul Lambert, we accept his staff, we accept his style of football, we accept the plan to rebuild under the young players and go forward. And then that was the biggest takeaway from the game for me. So I think with all that, and then some comments from Lambert afterwards that maybe set tongues wagging a little bit and put a little bit of confusion in the air, all just melted together and people got a little bit carried away as to what they might mean, perhaps, and that kind of thing.
Can I play devil's advocate here, boys, and suggest that should Town fans really be happy with having Paul Lambert next season? Is he one of the most spectacular snake oil salesmen we've ever seen? He's essentially come in, everyone's drinking the Paul
what
Lambert.
What salesman?
Snake oil salesman, you've never heard that term?
No.
Widen your vocabulary, boys. It means basically someone's providing, as if they're providing something, not actually providing, essentially.
Is snake oil not a thing?
Doesn't
you can't
exist.
Get an oil out
can't
of a
get
snake.
Snake oil.
Okay.
But as I say, he's sort of come in. Had pretty much no impact at all on results. In fact, didn't come on to it in a minute. His record is now worse than Paul Hurst. And yet he's this incredibly popular character, basically because he's gone to the fans, you're great, you're amazing, don't worry about what's going on the pitch. I'm just a manager, I can't impact on that. Is there not a bit of worry about that? Should there be a bit of worry about that? I'm not saying it's what I think. I'm purely playing
devil's avocado. It's a fair and valid conversation to have. I would throw back into the mix, what's the alternative at this moment in time? And I think, is it fair to judge Paul over not a short period of time now? You know, managers have come into clubs in October, November and turned things around. Or, you know, if it had just been just falling shy but gave it a really good shot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had almost no impact on results, has he? Let's be honest.
Well, do you want these statistics now?
Go for it, yeah.
So Paul Hurst had 14 games, 1 win, 6 draws, 7 defeats, which is an average of 0.64 points per game. Paul Amherst had 24 games in the league. This is each have had a cup exit. 24 games in the league, 2 wins, 9 draws, 13 defeats, and that's 0.62 points per game. So he is achieving, it's 0.625. So he is achieving 0.015 points less per game.
It's the same.
Than Paul Hurst. It's the same record. Even the goals are the same. Paul Hurst's Ipswich scored 11 goals at 0.78 goals per game. Paul Lambert's Ipswich have scored 19 goals at 0.79 points.
And yet Paul Hurst was kicked out and was a pariah, and Paul Lambert is taking Ipswich down bottom of the championship, and everyone bloody loves him. That doesn't see. Is that right?
I think it shows how bad things had got in terms of the relationship between fans and the club, and the level of apathy that had grown, that people were just gagging for a bit of love from inside the club being shown out, and that, you know, that's kind of worrying that it had got that bad, that this nay normal situation, you know, that it has been as it's been on the pitch, but people are loving it that much. And why was it allowed to fester to the levels that it had got to that much to create this level of love, which shouldn't really be happening? It's not normal.
No.
It's completely unprecedented. So I can't think of an example in any other sport in history.
What I will say is that, you know, it's not just the PR side of it has helped, and I don't buy into the cynicism that it's manufactured. I think it comes from the heart, and
yeah,
I think it comes from a real place.
Absolutely.
From Paul, but I think we can't ignore that the football has been more fun.
Yep.
A lot more fun to watch, and I've come away from a lot of these games having enjoyed them.
Yeah. It's the risk taking that I enjoy. It's just they're trying to win. They are trying to win, and they don't win. They've won two of them, but the risk taking's there, and it is enjoyable. And that's a massive part of what Ipswich Town needed to sort out, both in the summer and in October of this year. It needed to be more fun. And look, they're going down and they're going to have to rebuild from the bottom. But it's also the talk of the future of a real plan going forward. And that's why...
We had that with Hurst, didn't we? There was a plan there. You know, an exciting new plan that didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, and hindsight's a wonderful thing. But you could look back on that now and say, could Paul have been given a bit more time, and, you know, would things have been different over time with him, and did you throw that plan out the window quite quickly? But I think at that given moment in time, reluctantly, we were all kind of the opinion that they had to try and do something to change it, and there wasn't a good feel behind the scenes. More and more has come out about that over time in terms of players not being happy with how things were being done and what things were being said. Is that too much player power in the game? That's another debate, really, but something needed to happen. It's not changed. This season has just been horrific from start to finish. Now we just need to hope that the reboot that this club has needed for a long time, maybe the worst needed to happen for, you know, they couldn't just keep treading water year after year. Would they be in this position had Mick still be here? No. But would there be this hope and positivity around the place? Mm. No, I don't think there would either. So
it's just mentally, it's about hope and positivity.
Maybe we're being deluded. Maybe we're clinging to something here because we're desperately clinging to something. Yeah. And I'm fully aware that all of this feel good stuff could dissipate so quickly, and Lambert's comments at the weekend were a reminder of how fragile all of this is, because it only takes that little seed of doubt to come in, and at the minute it's kind of a free pass because this season's gone and the damage has been done. But once he's had his own transfer window, once he's had his own good go at it at the start of, you know, once we start getting into October, November, December territory, next year, and you know.
The last thing they need now, though, is to be looking for another manager.
Absolutely.
And that's why, for me, it feels good to know and be told by so many people that the expectation is that he will stay, because the last thing they need now is to be looking for another manager in the summer. Because at the moment, there is the feeling that they're they're going into this with somebody who's firmly in control, has a plan. The summer's planned out, they know what they want, they know what they need, and they've got a plan to execute it. Whereas I don't think it's going to happen. If they needed a new manager now, I would be seriously, seriously concerned about what kind of Ipswich Town
would turn up. Marcus will know that, because everything he's done so far has been, you know, one part of his 5-point plan, whatever you think about that, is stability with staff and management. And he's proven that so far, you know, with all of his managers have probably got far longer than they would anywhere else. So he did not want to sack Paul Hurst. That was, you know, that I think that hurt him having to do that, because, you know, that was major egg on the face after going down a different route. So he won't want to sack him. And Paul Lambert will not want to leave this club. This is a man who's not had a pre-season at a football club since
2014.
He's gone into Blackburn in November and left them in the summer. He's gone into Wolves in November, left them in the summer. He's gone into Stoke in January, left them in the summer. You know, he said, you know, you're spot on. I'm sick of that. I can't put my stamp on anything. So there's no reason for him to want to leave. There's no reason for Ipswich to want to get him out. They've put out a joint statement in black and white from both parties saying he will definitely be here. It would be an absolutely remarkable U-turn for anything to change on that. I think the comments at the weekend were a massive storm in a teacup.
Okay, as I said, quite a lot of the questions from our bag are Lambo related, so let's take some of those now. Georgie Cody, first of all, says,
do I need to sing the mailbag song?
Is there a mailbag song? Have I met?
You've heard the rendition of this so far.
I don't. Well, is this officially?
Not the official.
Well, then I don't need. Well, then
this
I won't.
This is
a taster.
Okay. Lambert section.
Then I won't sing anything.
Georgie Cordy just says, has Lambert got a worse record than Paul Hurst? No, it's pretty much exactly the same.
It's identical.
Elder Grizzly says, what would success and failure look like next season for Lambert? Does he get a full season if Town aren't in the top half in January?
Well, this is
good
a different.
Question,
this is a different ball game, isn't it?
The levels of expectation change next year, of course they do, and Ipswich would have to be considered, you know, promotion contenders from
favourites,
the off. That'll
surely
be
there'll be some, you'd think that one of Sunderland or Portsmouth aren't going to get up, potentially.
They won't be title favourites, but they'll be amongst promotion favourites with the bookies, I would have thought.
Amongst the favourites, but not the favourites, I would have thought.
Budget wise, for all the talk about the budget under Marcus, that will be a top League One budget next year. And with the expectation of youngsters coming through and keeping some very experienced Championship players and maybe adding to that, then rightly so, the expectation will have to be that. But
surely, Town, when they do go down, they've got to bounce straight back, or at least be in the mix. You can't go down and have a season mid-table. That's not good enough.
Well, it's happened before.
That's not good enough, is it? That's what I'm saying. If Lambert does that, that's not good enough, is it? Ipswich Town and League One have got to be in the promotion shake-up. They can't go down and just be mid-table. That's just simply untenable, isn't it?
I know what you're saying, but again, I'll go back to some of the clubs of an Ipswich side, arguably bigger, that have gone down with
saying,
that same level of expectation.
What has happened? I'm just saying what should
but it's,
happen.
Okay, so let's the scenario makes it to November, December time, and they are mid-table. And then what do you do? You change it again, and then you keep changing it, and you keep chasing something. Is that what Ipswich need to do? I don't know. Look at Blackburn have kind of gone down and stuck with Tony Mowbray and stuck with the plan, and that's helped them. Wigan have come up through kind of sticking with Paul Cook, and It's going to be a real test of people, I think, if we get to that scenario.
But that, to put that will then, I think, if you're talking mid-table but still kind of in touch with the promotion race, that depends on performances and whether how many of the youngsters, is there signs that actually the youngsters are now coming good? They've had 3 months where it's been a bit up and down, which happens with young players. 3 months of that, they're a bit up and down, but actually it's coming, it's all right. We're 13th at the moment, but you know what, this is clicking, the football's good. It all depends on circumstance, and if they're trying to build something around a very specific plan, you want to give the manager as long to execute that plan as possible.
There'll be a lot of leeway if Paul's true to his word and there's a core of 4, 5, 6 homegrown players in the squad week in, week out. That buys you a lot of time and a lot of leeway as a manager, which is all they're trying to do effectively. Managers, aren't they? Buy themselves more time.
JT says, I just don't understand his Radio Suffolk post-game comments. I thought it was confirmed he was staying in building. Can anyone confirm this is still the case? Hashtag worried. You understand, of course, that is actually the case.
Yep.
So happy to confirm that for you there, JT. This is from Despicable ME. Fair enough if Lambert's interview was misinterpreted, but he's clearly implying, and from a previous one, there is something happening at the end of the season that will affect the fans and possibly his position. Is this just self-doubt about his position or something bigger?
I think the former, perhaps just being quite self-critical of himself and you know, as I said, this is a man not just at Ipswich, but over the last year has probably gone through it in terms of having to keep getting himself up off the floor after defeats and punches to the gut that have been hard to take. I think that was just him speaking emotionally. The only possible explanation for change would be a takeover, and then all bets are off in terms of someone else coming in and wanting their own man, and that makes the joint statement from Marcus and Paul null and void. And as far as I'm concerned, that there's nothing in the pipeline there at the moment.
No.
Ed Banthorpe says, I'm a big Lambert fan, but if it looks like we're set in and struggling this time, his time should be up before January, in my opinion. He rightly gets a free pass this season. We have to see proof he's the man to bring us back, etc., as his record is questionable. I mean, you mentioned the pre-season there, Stu, even he's not had a pre-season for a long time. But there is a reason for that. It's because he's not been getting results where he's been.
I don't know if it's just black and white is that. When you look at Paul Lambert's, everyone, now it's people have gone, Paul Lambert's done nothing since Norwich. Well, I think Villa was, all of his jobs have had really tough circumstances. Villa were on a bit of a sort of a death by a thousand cuts slide themselves when he took over. They didn't go down under him. He was naming the youngest team in the club's history. They stayed up. They didn't go down till he left. He bought players like Benteke that were big successes. So that was Villa. Then he goes to Blackburn, that was at the height of all the Venky's unrest and stuff like that. Not an easy gig there. Went in November, kept them away from trouble. That was that. Wolves, he then goes in at the peak of the Portuguese super agent era coming to a head, and they quite clearly wanted to go down a certain route, and that would have
I don't think he
tough.
Wanted to work with, because the recruitment model at Wolves is the agent brings in the players, and he didn't want to do that, and that's understandable. And they probably didn't want him to be the man doing that either. So,
And then Stoke, I think, were pretty much looking like they were down by the time he came in January. And, you know, that happened, and you know, maybe they look back now and think, actually, would we have been better off sticking with an experienced Championship manager than trying to chase something else as well? So I go back to that point earlier that sometimes you have to kind of go through a bit of pain, and that's a bit of a test in modern football, both for owners and fans, to kind of have to ride out some dark times sometimes to kind of get through it all.
And just finally, before we move on to lighter subject matter, John Couch says, could you explain why Lambert wasn't proved further on his post-match comments on Saturday? I assume he means probed further. But you were there, obviously, Hutchie.
Well, not I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't there?
No.
Okay.
No,
explain how it works. So did he do written press first?
Yeah, he came in and did the usual press conference with us, which was absolutely normal. No hint of anything like that at all. We spoke about the game. We spoke about the fans singing the songs they did. We spoke about Flynn Down's new contract. We spoke about another injury with Matt Pennington being out for the season, and that was that. And then he moved on to the.
He does that on a, for those that, to visualise it, he does that on a podium in the press room in front of
where we do our little videos, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So he sits there sort of up above the written press that are sat down below, and then he goes into a separate room and goes into a soundproofed glass booth, which is very sort of personal, quite a small space.
It's really quite small, isn't it? And
like Paul, a shower, basically.
Paul Lambert's not the biggest, but imagine that must be weird for Brenner with Mick McCarthy in there. He's like a
standing room only. And then he does the radio interview, and we don't hear what he says in that. So the first, I assume Andy would have known of it, is then when Twitter and things start going, oh, did you hear him on the radio and all of that? And then the guys then had to listen back to it. So there was no chance for a comeback. And so we now have to wait till Thursday to inevitably.
I think in fairness to Brenner, I don't know what more probing you could do. It all came as a big surprise. I know Brenner was very surprised at the response that he got, and then there were maybe three more opportunities. That I think that was a very blunt question, but for clarity, Paul, you want to be here, don't you? And he answered the way he did.
I've seen people say, well, this is an experienced man who's too long in the tooth to kind of, he, every word he utters, he will know exactly the ramifications of it and all of that. I don't know if he was overly thinking about how those words would be hyperanalyzed and interpreted. I just think he was speaking sort of from a place of emotional hurt about, you know, another result that's not happened.
Your voice is going. Yeah. It's going to go. Let's try and get it to go within the podcast. Right. Draw a line on the Lambo comments. Let's do something a bit lighter, shall we?
Yes.
You know what time it is now, little boys. And there's something very new and exciting about this time, because Mr. Alfred Hitchcock has made me a little gift, which you're about to get
the
benefit of. It is time for Mark's big question.
Question. What do you think of that?
Wow. I mean, for me, it's still probably underplayed it, to be honest, mate, because it needs a bit more of a build-up than that. But I do appreciate it getting something of a makeover, because it is obviously the highlight of the whole show. Boys.
Do you like it, Stu?
I love it. My only feedback is it robs me of the chance to do the question bit.
Do it now.
Live, and that's one of my favourite bits.
Perfect.
It's not the same. Question.
So, there are now, where are we? 46 questions. 1 to 46.
46.
46, and they're all gold. Stuart Watson, because you've been away, would you like the honour this week?
No, I pass that on to my good friend.
Hutchie, you want the honour?
Yes, I would. I'd like number 12, please.
Already done that. Next.
Why aren't you taking these off?
Because I'd like to see what we've done. Number 12, for example, was childhood toy. We already talked about that.
Did we?
Yes.
Okay.
So, picking up.
Number 19.
This is a good one. Something you can't do, but you wish you could. What skills do you most covet? For example, Stuart Watson, among his many skills, being a brilliant writer and excellent journalist, all that sort of stuff, all that rhubarb, can spin a pen on his thumb like a basketball. And it's one of the things it is one of the things that I most covet.
Yeah.
Had I been in the interview with Stuart before he got this job here, I'm going to have to film this, that would have been enough for him to get the job. No matter if he came and said, I'm an Norwich City fan, I think Town should be relegated.
That's it.
So this is Stuart Watson, a man of many talents, but this is his best one. Look at that. How... Is that not getting you...
It's always been very impressive. Very, very impressive.
It's very, very impressive. So it's along those sort of lines I'm asking this question. So that would be one of my things I wish I could do, but I can't. Mm. Another thing would be play a musical instrument, because I've got absolutely no musical ability whatsoever.
I have.
You can play a musical instrument?
Yep.
What can you play?
Got grade one, violin.
Oh, violin? What? How do we not know this?
Because we haven't got to question 19
before.
Have you
got a violin?
No. No, it was terrible.
What do you mean,
grade one? Grade one is like the first one, which they give to...
But you had a violin.
I think I had possession of a violin, which was given to me by the school.
Just had a school violin?
Yeah.
Wow, you are so posh.
Played at Snape, world-famous Snape.
Of course you did.
Snape Maltin's concert hall, didn't I?
Set you out.
So but I mimed it, because I was rubbish.
Your parents must have hated you. That is the worst instrument to learn, isn't
it? No, I think you'll find the trumpet is worse, because our next-door neighbour plays the trumpet.
Or surely the drums. The drums would be a disaster if you had someone playing them next door. So you can play musical instruments?
I can't play the violin in any way whatsoever, but I have previously played it.
So that'd be one of my things. If I was going to pick an instrument, I'd probably play... something cool like the saxophone.
Yeah.
I was calling the saxophone.
Yeah. When we were picking musical instruments, they asked what I wanted to do, and I came home and told my parents I wanted to learn the clarinet.
Of course you did.
They and my dad immediately just told me to get a grip. I didn't learn to play the clarinet. I just quit at the recorder.
The recorder's classic. The ocarina as well. Do you remember the ocarina? Is that like
kind of
a
ocarina?
Like a shell shaped thing on the same principle as a recorder. But,
does it call like King Triton to the surface?
It should do. Oh, the other thing, if I could row back on the saxophone, mouth organ, that's very cool. If you see someone who can play the mouth organ properly, I'm talking like blues.
Right.
You just want to go like just sit somewhere in Louisiana, New Orleans,
on the street
just
corner, just you know, making.
One thing I'd really like to do is one of the Rocky films at the weekend.
Yes.
I want to hang out on a street corner in Philadelphia with a bin that's on fire, just going do 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 do. Na, 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 na.
We should write a blues song about Ipswich Town's season.
Well, we've got the obvious man for that, haven't we? Your mate, old
Ben
Button, Blooming.
Well, you're good. Well, you do your little poems and stuff.
I've done
you
one
could...
for a while, have I? I could do the lyrics. I think we'd need some help with the music.
Oh.
Get the violin involved.
Well, if we do one of these podcasts live, we'll do like a live, we'll do an interlude where it's just like a blues jam and we'll get some.
You get the violin out. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be so bad. It's such a horrible instrument. What was I thinking?
So that's mine anyway. Play a musical instrument and flip a pen on my finger like cool Stuart Watson.
The obvious one would be speak another language.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Language and play a musical instrument, everyone says that, but I just haven't got the...
Which one? Which language?
I'd better learn German so I can do the national anthem.
Of course. I'd say Italian if I was learning a language.
Spanish for me.
Spanish, yeah.
Mein Deutsch ist nicht so gut.
Of course, Chinese would be the most useful.
No habla español.
Chinese these days. So, language, musical instrument. Hachi, what do you wish you could do other than hang out in Philadelphia?
I would like to be... more than 5'10" tall. I'm not 5'10".
I'm
going to
say, you're not
a skill that you can learn?
What was the exact wording of the question?
I don't think it actually works. The question is, something you can't do but you wish you could. I suppose
be taller.
That works.
Can't
it
do it.
Work.
I'm just under 5'7".
Yeah.
I'd like to be 6 foot. Can't do it. Never going to happen.
And your brother is 6 foot?
My brother's 6'4". It's ridiculous.
Could they not just be a medium?
Is there a brooding resentment?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a little bit. But a lot of doors would be open to me if I was 6'4", which aren't currently open. Were never
what
open
sort
to
of
me.
Doors?
I.
Rugby doors.
No,
basketball doors.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting the ladies' doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, more. I think I could have pursued a career as a professional goalkeeper had I been 6'4", but
yeah.
I'm not. So I was really good when
You've
I was younger.
Got the reflexes of a cat.
I was really good,
yeah.
But I was never going to be more than 5'7".
Could have been somebody.
But instead, I'm here with you talking about pens and and things.
Let's see if Bart will do you like a goalkeeping masterclass session and we'll film it.
Because I'm not blowing smoke up your jacksie here, actually. You have got good hands, good reflexes.
My handling of a football is immaculate. It's really, really good. I'm just too small and now overweight. At the time, not so much, but yeah. If my weight was more evenly distributed over a 6'4" frame,
yeah,
I wouldn't be here with you guys right now. I'd probably be playing for Cambridge,
if not higher.
Probably not that much higher.
I would also have just thought of another one. Talking about blowing smoke up jacksies, I'd like to be able to blow.
I'm doing a little circle motion
with my finger. be able to blow smoke rings.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. All you do is blow like a dart then through.
Yeah.
They have the ring and they.
If you combine that with your desire to just be a blues player, if you two could combine those, you'd be like the ultimate human.
Cool. Yes. I would rather have like 10 skills like that than like if you
being
said,
able to fly.
You can, not being able to fly, but if it was like language or. You can do smoke rings, spin a pen on your finger, various other things. I'd take the cool little stuff all the
time. Absolutely. And because we've got the brand new intro, and it's tremendous, I just realised that we never actually got round to the one we should have done last week. So it's a double game week for Mark's big question. Question 29, which is what one of you picked last week, and we ended up doing something else.
Did we?
Yeah. What? I ended up picking number one, didn't I? I wasn't taking the number 29, but I want to...
It's all right this week, is it?
Absolutely, because it's a secondary question.
It's the B side, and sometimes B sides are better than A sides.
Well, I'm not sure about that. But the question 29 is simply, do you moisturise? Now, I'm going to say, this will come as no surprise to you with a face like this, the moneymaker, that I do. I've got a regimen, morning and night, special cream, all sorts.
I've always wondered this. Men with beards.
Yeah.
Such as you.
Not really.
Well,
it's kind of lazy stubble.
It's elongated stubble. But how do you? What's the point? Half your face is covered. What
beard oil, my friend?
So is that part of the routine?
It is now, yeah. Because I've decided I'm going a bit longer with the old stubble. I'm not sure it works, to be honest. But anyway, as I say, morning and night, I've got creams, and as a result, I don't look a day over 34.
True.
Now, can I guess out of you two? Stuart Watson, a roughy tufty man from Essex, probably wouldn't shower if he didn't have to. So I reckon you do not moisturise, because you're bloody hard, isn't it, Governor? And Hutchie, little pet rabbit, I reckon you do.
I don't moisturise. I have some moisturiser which I occasionally use. I do have one of those eye roller things.
Yes.
Which I use every morning.
Yeah.
To try and not make myself look knackered.
Get rid of
that. I don't know if it works or not, but... I did once moisturise. The first time I tried to buy a moisturiser, I accidentally bought one that had fake tan in it. Are you aware of these?
Yes.
Yeah.
My dad did that once for a wedding. It was tremendous. Yeah. He rocked up and he literally looked like he'd been on a sunbed. The only thing that was brown was his face.
Yeah.
And he hadn't realised. And he was literally like several tones darker than he should have been. It was good. He had to be there. But Stewie, do you moisturise?
Yes,
you do.
You're wrong.
Oh man!
I just said that
you
did.
You are a metrosexual, just like me.
I just said that he did. He's got beautiful skin.
So do you moisturise night and day, or is it just?
Not as much as I should. Yeah, when I remember.
Yeah.
So I'm the same. I've got one next to my bed, but I very rarely actually use it.
Face masks?
No.
Occasionally.
It's a yes from me. Absolutely.
Occasionally use them.
Absolutely. I'm not ashamed. I like looking after my face.
And then you'd let people punch it. It's kind of a false economy there.
Yeah, yeah. So that was good. A double game week of Mark's Big Question, and I feel again we've learned more about each other. You can play the violin.
I can't play
Stewie,
the violin.
Stewie moisturises.
That's a bombshell.
I can't play the violin.
We can.
But I have.
You've got a certificate.
That's exactly what it sounds like. It's terrible. I'll try and find my certificate.
Let us know though at home. I figure we should put this out as well on Twitter as post show reaction. What's something you can do, you can't do, but you wish you could? And also, do you moisturise?
And do you play the violin? Violin players, come at me.
I want more stories from people, and not just on Twitter. If you've got something more in-depth, send us an email, and we'll read out some good... Just go off on whatever topics we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Give us, because your stories will be better than ours.
I agree, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's the end of Mark's Big Question with a big build-up. I just have to mention at this point the sponsor. Go and buy a car.
Oh, my goodness.
Cycle. I have already mentioned them, but it's not been for a while. JohnBanks.co.uk.
JB.
Let us know once you bought a
car. Did you mention them at the beginning?
I did. And
are you sure?
I did, yes.
Was I not listening?
You don't usually listen to what I'm saying, actually, so...
Probably doing something techie, wasn't it?
You're doing something clever.
Plugging in the microphone.
But yeah, JohnBanks.co.uk are our beloved sponsors. Do go and buy a vehicle from them, car or motorcycle, and check out their ride and drive events as well. Coming soon near you, JohnBanks.co.uk. Boys, that's Mark's big question out of the way, the fun bit of the show. Is there anything else left to talk about before we get on to the main body of mailbag? The other thing we should mention, of course, some good news.
Stop
also,
banging the table.
I also just hit the table, apologies listeners. Flynn Downs signed a new deal.
Yeah.
Put out at ridiculous time on Friday night.
Yeah.
Wembley.
Message to Ipswich Town, please stop announcing contracts on Friday evenings when we've all gone home. That's quite annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, Flynn signed a new one.
So that's
good.
That's good news. Going down to League One with some kind of young talent tied up.
Yep.
Anything else to mention before we move on to the main?
Imagine if they actually tied people up when they tied down to a new contract. They
so for 3 years, you will be tied. You will not leave the training ground for 3 years.
You train and then you get handcuffed to a radiator.
And
that's what a lot of people would like to happen. That footballers have no life outside of running around.
And then
the
you get put into one of those prison vans and taken to the games and just like let out.
And then it becomes like Stockholm Syndrome where they then eventually you take the cuffs off but they just want to stay.
This is another one of our brilliant films. This could be the sequel to The Running Man.
Yeah.
Has this been done before? Con Air?
What's this?
Well, I don't know, just people being locked up on that.
I'm fairly sure that has been a plot line for a few films.
We'll give it the sporting...
Yeah, you'd probably get Vinnie Jones or Jason Statham involved again. So
Vinnie Jones is a fine actor and a massively underrated footballer. Vinnie Jones.
We talked about the game whole game very briefly at the beginning. Could I just talk about three of the more positive performances from that game from individual players? Stu, are you up for that?
Yes, please.
I'll give you three. And then you can tell me which one we'll talk about first. Toto Nsiala, Miles Kenlock, Andre Dizel. Which one do you want to speak about first?
Total time.
Yeah, the answer is always Toto.
Toto Nsiala played really well on Saturday's game. That was playing. I was somewhere the other day and that just started playing. Where was I? Went out for breakfast on last Thursday. Where did we go? But yeah, that just started playing in the background and I just started swaying. It was great. And I couldn't stop thinking of little Toto.
Very big Toto.
He played really well though. He came in obviously at centre back with Pennington out now for the season, sadly, with an ankle injury. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he played really well. He was exactly what you'd expect from Toto. Early on there was a couple of good blocks, one good moment where he stretched out a very long leg to stop a ball kind of getting through for, I think it was Fraser Campbell. And then the highlight of his game, he stepped out from the back and came out and won a challenge on halfway, but then for the second ball, kept going for that, lunged, and won that as well. And that really got the crowd going at a time when it was really flat. It was still 0-0 at this stage, and yeah, played really well and showed what he's all about and why he could be a mainstay next year if given the chance.
Okay, so that's Toto.
Yeah.
The other two were Kenlock.
Yeah, Miles Kenlock really looked really assured. He looks like he's growing in confidence, having played so many games in a row now. That's really rare for him to be able to do that. He looked confident, looked physically like he was coping a little bit better. And then Andre came on after 15 minutes for John Nolan. And he doesn't always find teammates to be on the same wavelength of him as him, because he's got ideas and ways of using the ball that I don't think other teammates would necessarily think to use. But he put a few really nice balls into his teammates. And there were a couple of moments that didn't come off where he was trying a couple of quick 1-2 popped passes in the box to try and create a chance. And he looked good. He looked good.
And the other thing, of course, you mentioned there is Pennington.
The season that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
And how did he do this injury, can we say?
Well, I'm led to believe he did this injury in training.
Yeah.
He's ruptured ankle ligaments, I believe, having an operation which will keep him out 8 to 10 weeks, which ends his season.
Yeah.
But I'm led to believe he did it in training, clearing the ball off of the goal line successfully.
Yeah.
but kicked the post as he did it.
There's a metaphor for Town season there.
Yeah.
Feature coming tomorrow. In fact, Stu, isn't there? Looking at the year.
There's been a few. Is Nolan Goff injured?
Yeah, Achilles, but nothing dreadful. He's not ruptured it. He's not not done what well. He's not snapped it. And Bishop missed the game with an ankle injury, which Lambert was at pains to stress was precautionary. I think if it had been Teddy's decision, he would have played. He was fit to play, but the Lambert and his medical staff and his staff took that out of Teddy's hands and just said, "Nah, not this week.
Okay.
Bigger fish to fry than this for you, Mr. Bishop."
Shall we do mailbag?
No.
Oh, here we go. This is big.
Oh,
friends, this is a momentous moment. Does anyone? I'm on the point of expiring here. Does anyone want a drink of water? Because I'm going to go and get a drink of water.
Really? You're taking a water break?
Well, you can carry on. I don't have to be here.
What should we talk about while you're not here?
Well, just talk about what fool I am behind my back.
Are you really gonna go and get a glass of water?
At this point, as Andy holds in his hand a piece of paper that says, "Friends of the Show."
To the tune of "This Is Your Life." Is that officially?
The official list.
Can you go do that again, but closer to the mic?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, please.
Bust that out. No pressure.
Okay. Yes,
seriously?
Okay. Yeah.
Friends of the Show.
Lovely.
The official list.
Added gravel in the voice. That was really like country. I really liked it.
We're about to drop this bomb. We've been teasing it for quite a long time. The official list of Friends of the Show, as curated by Alfred Hitchcock, Andy Warren,
yep.
Michael Hutchins.
This is big.
This is massive.
This for quite a long
this
time.
Huge. This is huge news.
This is your starter for five. There are
five initial
inductees to the Friend of the Show Hall. This is by no means the end of it.
Yeah.
They will be added as and when.
Yeah.
Can they be removed?
You would have... Yeah, they can be removed, but I struggle to envisage a circumstance where what you would have to do to be removed. But I would never say never.
Yeah.
Wait and see what happens.
Serious crime, probably. So how are we going to do this? You've got five names written down.
Yeah.
Let's just run through the criteria first of all. To be an official friend of the show.
No.
What?
There's no. You have to hit. You don't have to hit. There are certain things that help your cause.
Okay.
So
I thought we said before that obviously you had to interact with us. You had to leave us a 5-star review. And you have to do something other than that, which is worthy of mention.
Is this entirely at your discretion?
Well, it seems to have gone that way.
Yeah.
She
is the gatekeeper.
Are you all right with that?
Yeah, it takes
all
the pressure.
Let's be honest,
all
these people have done those things.
What
but
do people get as well if they're friends of the show?
We're working on that. They will receive something at some point.
Pictures of you both signed.
No.
I don't think they want that.
Nobody wants.
Definitely not.
Nobody
that.
Wants that.
Also, I don't. This is a family show, right? Sorry, I'm going to digress very quickly
here
to build up the tension.
Yeah.
But this has just reminded me. Naked pictures. Yeah, this is what reminded me.
No, don't.
What
I know where you're going to go. And just don't.
No, should I just not bring it? Any
no, just
oxygen
don't.
Of publicity.
No, just don't. Yeah, don't do it.
Well,
okay.
I'll tell you
afterwards.
I don't actually. It's probably not appropriate.
No, it really isn't. It really isn't. Come on.
You've been sending people naked pictures.
No,
but somebody who does do that has disgraced themselves.
If they had been a friend of the show, they would be removed from that
list.
Well,
I'll leave it as vague as this. Somebody who has been discussed on this podcast before for nudity has crossed a very big line and disgraced themselves. Some people will know what I'm talking about.
Not the
if you
the
don't,
one who does the,
don't, just move on. Friends of the show.
I'll tell you afterwards.
All right, fine.
But yes,
that's
the old
been...
boy that does the...
Yes.
Yeah, it's
oh,
him.
What's he done? I don't know that.
No,
Friends of the show.
Right, sing the jingle again.
Do the jingle. Let's start again.
Friends of the Show.
Oh,
wow,
yeah.
Hitting those notes.
Your voice is
my voice
is
gone. This is not the week to be.
So
I'll do.
Okay.
Here we go.
Right, we're
go.
Doing this. Friends of the Show. This is the first five. It is by no means final.
Yeah.
There's loads of people that have a claim to be on this list, and you will get there sometime if you continue to be our friend.
Exactly.
These five are the first five. And I'm going to tell you who they are.
Go.
The first one comes as no surprise. It's Daryl Jones, D. Jones Jacks, the ultimate friend of the show. He's been on the podcast, tick. sent a care package of crisps, tick. Very good. Followed that up with sending chocolates, tick.
Very good.
Follows John Banks on Twitter.
Massive.
Double tick.
Massive.
He is a true friend of the Kings of Anglia podcast. Daryl, you're the man.
Number one.
Second, maybe a bit more controversial, the pin, Greek Zorbath on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's shrouded in mystery. He lightens the mood with some off-topic questions, which we need.
We do enjoy.
He deletes all his tweets as he goes, adds to the mystique of the man.
Mm.
I want to know more about him. He only has 9 Twitter followers, but follows over 1,000. But one of those 9 is Danny Baker.
Yeah, I saw that. And
as a result, he confuses me, he intrigues me, and he's my friend. So he's our friend. He's a friend of the show, The Pin.
He excites me.
Next up, our Welsh representative, I believe North Wales,
yeah.
Harvey Davis. He's in our Welsh outpost, we need that. He's a regular contributor, good questions, boosted my ego significantly by asking for a picture at the Blue Monday podcast event, and he's a top lad. Harvey Davis, friend of the show.
Number 3.
Next up, number 4, and you do all this, you are numbered, so you are number 3. Number 4, Jack's Larder, Jack McLean, our resident chef. Brings food questions to the table, which I know you love, Mark.
Yeah, I do.
Said hello to us very briefly as he was passing at the Blue Monday event. That's a big tip. And crucially, he also follows John Banks on Twitter.
Good lad,
friend
Jack.
Of the show,
good
Jack's
lad.
Larder. And last, this is to keep you happy, Mark.
Yes.
Matt Thomas, I am Spartacus 73. He likes fighting. He makes Mark's happy, which we need.
Yeah.
Regular contributor, follows John Banks. Crucially upgraded his 4-star review to a 5.
He did.
Oh, that's
which is big of him to do that. It's big, to realise when you're wrong is big.
Exactly.
Matt Thomas, I am Spartacus. You are friend of the show, number 5. And there we are. That is the initial roll call for friend of the show.
That's brilliant. So now we have the first 5 founding members of the friends of the show. Please go and follow those on Twitter. And also we'll have to decide, as you say, what exactly they're going to get as a friend of the show. Because they need something.
They'll get something. We've got some thoughts. We've had some thoughts on this.
Car stickers?
Car stickers, certificates.
Yeah, certificates. Yeah. Greg on violin.
Yeah.
Maybe you could serenade them.
I think we should do an end of season party.
That's a good idea.
Can it be a barbecue?
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
Where would it be?
Don't know.
We'll get to that.
But this will be, so they did this for the Peter Crouch one, didn't they? And they got together people that had been mentioned throughout it.
This
is going to be more, no, I like it.
No,
this is your insecurities.
What was the curry house
again.
Called again?
The San Rat.
The San Rat. Yeah, the San Rat.
So, but we'll do it, but we'll make it far more inclusive for our listeners. So this isn't for people that we mention on here. This is for the people that interact.
Anyone who wants to come.
Not only the friends of the show. Everyone.
Yeah, come on, come all.
Come on, yeah.
That'd be good.
We're a broad church. Anyone can. Anyone's welcome.
I like the idea.
But official friends of the show get to wear merch that makes them stand out.
And also, I'll put them a burger.
Wear merch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That, if you don't wear your merch, you might. Also, we've got to remember Daryl lives in Florida.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's a private warning. He's over here quite a lot, though.
He is, but I'm not sure if that extends
to. Could we go over to Florida, Jacksonville?
I'm prepared to do that as well. Company would pay for that.
I'm sure
I shouldn't
fund that. No problem at all. Let us know what you think. If you want to get involved in an end of season party, so if it's out going down.
And if also, look, everyone that listens is a friend of ours.
Of course, absolutely.
This isn't meant to exclude anyone.
Yeah.
But if you have any issues with it, come at me. You know.
Exactly.
You know
how often are we going to add to this? Is it like going to be?
Just when we
just
feel necessary.
Just as and when you're just going to...
And sure, I've put this together, but please, lads, this is your list too.
Yeah.
No, I'm behind you on this. I'm just glad I haven't got the pressure, because if you have got any issues with it, please direct those directly to Andy Warren.
Come at me. Come at me. If any of you 5 don't want to be a friend of the show, fine, we'll get rid of you, but
I think it's a very reasonable list.
I think so.
Just the start point.
It's just the start.
The first 5 will just probably... First 5, and number 1, Daryl will always be number 1.
He's been on the podcast. That is the only automatic friend of the show.
We had quite a lot of people saying they want to come on the podcast, but obviously he came on because he gave us free food. So let's know about end of season party. Let's hit the mailbag now, shall we? I enjoyed that. We're having some good fun today, aren't we, boys? Here we go.
Mailbag. Mark, Andy, and Stu go dipping in the mailbag.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Do.
Theme tunes, man. We're so musical, apart from me. Jamie Trott, can you please follow up with at Stuart Watson about my emoji goal/goal with happy and angry faces idea, please, for his live Twitter. I feel a little bit of colour on his tweets might make me feel better during this tough time. Cheers.
So describe what, sorry, who was this from?
So this is Jamie Trott. He suggested that when Town score, or more likely when they concede, you should tweet goal, substituting the O for either a happy face or an angry face.
Yep.
I quite like that idea.
I really like that idea, and I believe I replied to Jamie at the time. I love the idea. I'm concerned that in the heat of the speed of the moment, trying to tweet it, me faffing around looking for an emoji isn't the best use. Yeah, I'll get the wrong one, and I'll do like a
Town's conceded smiley face.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I saw somebody on Facebook recently was mourning the death of a beloved pet and had accidentally used the crying with laughter emoji, which is a shame.
It's like when. Did you ever get it like when my mum would confuse lol, so lots of love?
Yeah.
And yeah,
yes,
and that can be used at inappropriate moments.
Absolutely.
I like it. I'm not ruling it out, but I would say it's unlikely.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. Thanks for your input. Alex Bentham, if Lambert were to leave, and this is a big if, where would you see us going in terms of a new manager? Blimey, Alex.
Simon Grayson?
For real?
To be blunt. But I'm not saying that should happen. I don't want Paul Lambert to leave. I think the best thing for Ipswich Town is for him to stay. But
yeah.
I think you'd struggle to look beyond someone like Simon Grayson, who has 4 League One promotions on their CV.
You're spot on, and that's what people have got to keep in front and centre of their minds. I think Marcus has had his fingers burnt with the Paul Hurst experiment. He's gone back to type with a bit of experience. I think he would go for experience again. So if anyone's getting to the stage where they're questioning Paul Lambert, that's what I would say. What is the alternative? You know, we've got to stick with this. Got to.
Despicable ME. Perhaps you could tell me how Cole Skuse still gets in the team. Our midfield was so much more energetic and dynamic last game without him. The whole player just skipped past him for their second goal like he wasn't there. Much to Lambert's very obvious frustration. Hutchie, you at the game? What are you saying?
The second goal, yeah. There was Jared Bowen down the right who, in an ideal world, you'd have wanted Cole to have put both the ball and him into the first row of the stand. The thing with Cole is I'm so disappointed that he got that injury when he did, because when was that? November? November time?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it was a few weeks into Lambert's time, wasn't it? He suddenly found this hot streak where he looked brilliant. He was playing on the turn, he was using the ball really well, bringing others into play, and was really dynamic. But he came back from this knee, I think it was a knee cartilage injury, came back so quickly. Admirable in that he didn't want to. This was at a time where Ipswich needed that experience in the midfield. Chalabar hadn't quite taken the strides to the player that he is now. He rushed himself back and hasn't been the same since. With Skuse, I really hope that the Cole Skuse going forward is the one that we saw in November time. And if it is, he's got a real, real important part to play in that. I don't see why it can't be, but just I don't think he's fully recovered from rushing himself back from injury.
I don't know if this signals, if people are suddenly going, well, this signals the end game of his career and legs have gone. I think the injury's played a massive part in that. And he needs a summer break and he needs a pre-season, and hopefully he gets back to the form he was at pre-injury, because you're right, he was the best player in the team at that time, early in the Lambert era. He was a player reborn.
But despicable ME is right, though. The Ipswich midfield of, what was it, Chalabar, Bishop and Nolan in that second half against Forest was much better than the one of this week.
Simon, Portman Ginge, when you look at the way some clubs are run, like Bolton Town visit this weekend, obviously, does Marcus Evans deserve some credit for at least keeping us stable?
Yes, in a word. I think it provides a bit of much needed perspective. We can all get a bit carried away with where's the ambition, spend a bit more money, etc, etc. It's frustrating to see how Ipswich's finances have been increasingly dwarfed and they've been left behind a little bit, but Marcus does provide a level of consistency and stability with his investment, which may not be sexy, but it's not Bolton, it's not Birmingham, it's not other clubs that are overreaching and paying the price for it.
Mm. New friend of the show number 5, Matt Thomas, I am Spartacus 73 on Twitter. 2 points. Are we seeing the end of excuse? He's appeared off the pace since his injury. You've already addressed that. We hope not. He also says, why are our ball boys slash girls so immobile? Every game I see them sitting still as the ball goes out and we're chasing the game. Is that something you've noticed? That's not something...
I will watch that very closely now.
Yeah.
I've not really spent much time looking at the ball boys and the ball girls, but I will watch that with great intrigue.
FPL Tractor, breaking news. I've heard all the other championship clubs are going to be fined 100 points. How do you think we'll do in the Prem?
Struggle.
Yeah, I think it's a season of struggle, I've got to be honest. Simon, how long have we been going,
This is an hour and 10 minutes in, and we've only now got to the part of the show which is normally
the longest.
And
I feel like I'm going to expire any second. It's very hot in here and I'm wearing a jumper.
I also want to put some quotes about Nigel Adkin saying that they haven't made a decision about Will Keane's future at Hull online by 1 o'clock. If I can.
Yeah.
But
Shall we
Should
we make our way rapidly through these then, one at a time? Simon English, do you think that Lambert is making a habit of making points to the owner through the media? Not certain myself, but surely if true, a tactic that needs to stop if genuine and lasting stability is to be achieved at Town. And he adds, 100% correctly, absolutely love the podcast, gents. Doesn't everyone?
Thank you.
So, Stu, what are you saying? Is Lambert making a habit of making points to the owner through the media?
No, I don't think that. I can see where people are coming from. I think some managers do. I think they do use the media to kind of make a bit of a veiled comment. You know, sometimes when managers name a bench of 6 players and leave one out, instead of putting a kid on there, it's a bit of a comment to the owner about their lack of depth and whatnot. But I don't think those were Paul's intentions, no.
Hutchie, Arthur Pickthorne wants to know, is Danny Rowe playing his way into our plans for next season? I imagine Lincoln will be interested in him and will be in the same league as them. Can see him scoring against us if we let him go.
I think Lincoln would be keen to sign him permanently. Interestingly, I think he's scored 4 goals for them this season, including a couple of absolute belters. But he's not been playing on the wing. He's been playing as a number 10 behind a central striker, which I don't think Ipswich would ever play him there, to be quite honest.
Well stocked in that regard.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I think maybe Danny might need a move. I don't know. He's an interesting one because he's always looked like he's got a little something about him, but he just hasn't really caught fire at Ipswich. He might be one that, yes, comes back to bite you, but also might just need to find a home and get going. I don't know.
I agree. Both him and Jordan Roberts, I think there's, you know, I think it might benefit all parties that I can see both of them having a clean slate, possibly.
Mark at Redcrumb Mark, great name, Mark. If you moved jobs and had to cover another team anywhere in the UK as a journalist, who would it be and why? My answer, I know you said anywhere in the UK, I'd move to Las Vegas and cover Fight Sports full time. I'll be honest, if I could make anywhere near the sort of money.
That wasn't the question, was it?
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm answering. If I was covering a team in the UK, not fussed, mate, really. How about yourselves?
If I could cover any team in the UK, it wouldn't be Leeds. Because it would be, but it's a basket case. And
how about Newcastle?
I think that would be quite fun. Although you've got
Liverpool.
Maybe not Liverpool. I think I'd quite like to Everton. I know Stu's obviously raising the old eyebrows now, but that'd be a fun team to cover. I think a good club. I always liked Everton.
You'd move to Liverpool and cover Everton.
Nice place to live as
and
well.
Liverpool, of course.
Are you paid accordingly on like level of club and?
I don't. All he's saying is, if you had to cover another team, who would it be?
Probably Mansfield for you, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, Mansfield.
Good, excellent. Matt Rowland, should the Checker Trade Trophy be taken seriously by Ipswich next season? It's a chance to get to Wembley and win silverware, or is it a distraction and congestion of games? Obviously, yesterday there was 84,000 people at Wembley. Watching Portsmouth and Sunderland, Jack Ross, almost of this parish. Portsmouth won. Brett Pittman.
Matt Clark.
Brett Pittman hit the post.
He did. Then Pompey won on pens.
They did, but Matt. Both of the Sunderland goals went into the back of the net off of Matt Clark, who otherwise was excellent.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it while I was doing my work. Yeah.
Well, you can't get enough. So yeah, that, I mean, obviously Town in League One next season, you'd think they'd be up there again as one of the favourites for that competition if they're
I think the points in the question there, they're both valid. It's both a wonderful occasion if you get to Wembley, but I tell you that the early rounds of that tournament can be miserable. And it's even more since I've covered a team that's reached the final in that, and the early rounds were horrible. And I think it's even worse now. It's a group stage now. It never used to be a group stage. It's low crowds, reserve teams. Now it's youth teams.
Of course, you know, but it could happen.
Yeah, we're not talking about that, are we? No. But when you reach the final, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, and
yeah.
I, you know, people knock it. It's a horrible competition in many ways. But I defy anyone that's watched their team play there in a final to not have thoroughly enjoyed it. So
that's crazy, isn't it? Portsmouth and Sunderland playing for the Checkered Train Trophy title.
In no other country would you get a third, fourth tier competition getting that sort of crowd and noise and crazy occasion. So
fantastic. Paul Markham, has Paul Lambert started to grow a beard yet? That's when we really need to worry. All the optimism was sadly undone by his post-match radio interview. Shambolic from top to bottom, I would say, on and off the pitch. Any signs of stubble on Lambo's face?
Bit of stubble.
Is it?
Well, he sometimes has a bit of stubble going on. It's never going to reach beard. I don't think he's a beard man.
Is he still rocking the hood though?
Yes, and he's still rocking the blue shirt.
The beards are creeping back in, actually. Bart's is getting back to its bushy best, and Chambo's getting it on the go again. That's the theory. The playoff season, they all have beards then.
They did.
Do you think like this team of teenagers are all going to come back in the summer with just full beards, like Andre Dezer with a beard? I don't think Jack Lancaster can grow one. Flynn Downs certainly can't grow one. That's another thing I'd like to be able to do. Going back to your earlier question, I would like to be able to have the chance or opportunity to be able to grow a beard. I probably would choose not to, but I'd like to have the chance.
You just got the tash.
You don't have facial hair, is that what you say?
I can't do it.
What do you mean you can't do it? It doesn't grow.
It grows.
How often do you shave?
Like every other day.
You just get the full on tash.
Yeah, I get a very
thick.
You
see the little stubble?
I can kind of see the stubble.
It's sometimes worse than that. There was one time recently where you asked me if I was in fact growing one, but that was just 3 days growth.
But mate, grow a tash.
Please grow a tash.
Please grow a tash.
Maybe in the off season.
You could grow it for our end of season party.
What? To show it off?
Yeah, absolutely.
And here it is.
He's
unveil
stash.
It. Some little
subject we've discussed on this over the last few months. It's just me stood there spinning a pen, actually just rocking the tash,
and you moisturising, just like
shadow boxing, pointing, and just yeah.
Fantastic, Mike King. Another one who's not happy with Cole Skuse. I'm a fan of Cole Skuse and think he's caught more flack than he deserved over the last few years. However, I do now think his time may be up. He was at fault for the second goal and he seemed off the pace throughout. So, yeah, we've already discussed that, Mike.
Oh, what I will say is, Paul Lambert, when we've talked about Chambers and Skuse and the senior players, he's given... It's not been the full-on praise that Mick McCarthy would give them. It's like, they're good guys, their experience is vital, still got big roles to play. But then when it's, well, can you see Luke playing 46 games again next year? Well, we'll see. Mm. You know, I think he used the term, you know, he's a massive part of this club, but that doesn't grant you immortality.
Yeah, they're not immortal. That's the breaking
time
news.
Time gets everybody. You all have to retire at some point. He's talked about in his career when it gets to a stage where your body can't produce what your mind wants you to do. So it's not been like they are going to be the absolute core, the team's built around them type thing. Their roles might, I think they've got big roles to play, but maybe not the roles that they've had in recent years.
And that's
possibly
good for everybody, I think, because their bodies have taken so much, particularly Lou Chambers, have taken so much of a hammering over the years. Like, they've still got an awful lot to give, but they don't need to be, certainly not next season when there's the potential for playing over 55 games depending on cups and things. Don't thrash them, get the best out of them and use them at the best times.
Good. Kevin Francis, I read people saying defence is not tight, but it's not Lambert's style. Also read that we can't score goals, also that we've got no cohesion in midfield. So I have to ask myself, what the fuck has he done during his time here then, apart from clap the North Stand after every game? Someone opining as I was similarly.
The bit that worries me is the not scoring goals part, is the thing that I think needs to be addressed. I think you're right, the style of play is taking risks and being bold on the ball, and that's great to watch, and that might mean that you're going to concede a few goals along the way, so you've got to get it right at the top end of the pitch. And look, I looked at Hull, and we were previewing that game, and I was thinking, well, Hull concede goals, but their front end of the pitch was quite strong as well, and ultimately, you know, their front end was better than Ipswich's front end, which was the difference. So I don't go along with the midfield not being cohesive. I think actually that's one of the big strong points at the moment, with the youngsters coming through, and some of the stuff between the boxes has been quite nice. I look at the defensive options for next year, and I think they'll be more than adequate for League One when you start to put Wolfenden and others into the mix, and Nsiala, who we've talked about this week, got to get not only a goal scorer, but I think that entire front three section, I want Judge through the middle, that top end of the pitch needs to be a lot stronger.
Because if you can't score goals, you go into games with the pressure on the defence as well. Yeah. That's what forces the mistakes, because they know full well that if they let one in,
we ain't scoring two.
And that's... And that puts the pressure on, and you can't play football like that. Right. It just doesn't add up.
Got to be able to score. This is one for you, Hutchie. What is your favourite Japanese vehicle? Asks James Gulk.
My favourite Japanese vehicle. I know what he wants me to say. But what I will say is I recently, a couple of years ago, went to Japan and witnessed a game of Mario Kart going on with real go-karts in the streets of Tokyo. Those were my favourite Japanese vehicles. Wow. They were dressed as like Mario and Princess Peach and stuff. It was brilliant. One of those, please.
That sounds brilliant.
Also, I quite like Honda. Get one from John Banks.
John Banks at PUK. Barney Booth.
Prefer South Korean cars as well. They're quite good.
What are South Korean cars?
Hyundai.
Barney Booth says, Roberts, Danasian, Rowe, stay or go. Rowe's versatile, and he plays attacking mid for Lincoln, and Roberts is struggling in League 2. So we've already said, we reckon Rowe, well, Roberts probably
I
go.
Think Roberts almost certainly, he's not even getting in... The Lincoln squad. He's not even getting on the bench at times.
He's not even made the bench.
I think almost certainly he'll be moving on. I like Rowe. I've seen, as Andy said earlier, he's got lots of qualities, but I don't know if he's the dynamic, high press. I just don't think he's the type of player that suits the mould. So I could see him moving. Danasian, and we've discussed this in a video last week, Andy and I don't know if he'll be a starting player, but he could be a really decent utility man, if the squad's going to have to be a little bit tighter and smaller, he can play. Lambert sees him as a centre back. Hurst saw him as a right back. He's playing left back for Accrington. I thought he was actually not bad in the early days when he was playing right back here. I'd be tempted to keep him on, but I don't know if Lambert's thinking the same.
Talk about Pennington kicking the post as a metaphor for town season. The Danasian saga as well has been another one, hasn't it? Just incredible. Barney also wants to know, Stewie, is Alan Nixon reliable? You don't have to answer directly. Just get Stu to cough three times at the end if the answer's yes. So I'll leave you to do what you wish to do with that one. Mr. McBear, Mr. G, am I the only one who's noticed Cameron Stewart trying to get a second go at Ipswich?
There's a new scholar that's come into the academy. He's called Cameron Stewart.
Great names. I'll find them while you carry on.
He also
talking.
Says, what was Lambert going on about in that radio interview? He was all over the place. And then the final question... I've saved for the end because it's another friend of the show. It's
which the number?
Pin. Number two, the pin.
FOTS2. FOTS2.
At Greek Zorbathe. Zorbathe? How do you pronounce that?
Zorbate. I don't know.
Zorbathe. If you want to go and follow him, like Danny Baker does. Following Lambert's post-match comments, have you ever said something which was misinterpreted?
Which
you could reveal?
In football? In a football sense? Or quite possibly.
Yeah. something I wrote about a player in an under-23s game.
Oh, yes. We can't tell this story.
Maybe not yet.
Towards the end of the season. Maybe the end of the season. What's that? Anyway. Archie, have you got any answers to the
Quite possibly.
I can't remember the specific. I think it's several things I've said.
Let's do that next week. I'll come up with one because I'm sure there's loads.
Another one, Martin Code, again along the lines of the Lambert thing. Assuming Lambert was hired with the remit, fighting against relegation, we're still bottom of the league with the worst points per game ratio. And then before his arrival, has he actually failed in what he was brought in to do? Well, yes, he's not going to keep Town up. And he also wants to know, what reasons are there to believe Lambert can turn things around, considering in the last two seasons he's overseen relegation at two clubs and has four wins as a manager since May 2017? Mm. What reason can we use for belief he'll oversee 20 plus wins next season?
The style of play, the kids coming through.
He says nice things about the fans. He once was good at Norwich, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, getting the fans on board it shouldn't just be dismissed. That was a difficult task to do, and there was a skill involved in that. And you know, they will be far much stronger as a unified force next year. So that is another reason to think that they can come good, because they've got everybody behind them again, and that is a powerful thing.
We've heard Lambert say so many times that we're playing really, really well, and I think he's right, but we've talked about just a lack of being able to put the ball in the net, and he's going to have a summer to sort that out with his players who are brought in kind of on Ipswich's level, whereas the January window we obviously saw Keane and Quayner came in. Both of those came in with big caveats. Keane had been a success, but has been had injury problems, which have surfaced again. He enjoyed a nice breakfast on the waterfront on Saturday, by the way. I saw him.
He did?
Will Keane. He should be back for the Bolton game. And then Colin Quayner, who scored against Nottingham Forest to end a run of 49 games without a goal. So they came and has played most of his football out wide. Whatever comes in the summer will be coming in for the task at hand, which is to compete at the top end of League One. And that's where I feel the hope, because they are playing good football, just can't score. And that's obviously a very big part of football, and it's a big issue. But the hope, and also the hope, that football's about hope, and hoping that you're, and seeing reason to be excited, and hoping, and that's why you can envisage Lambert being successful, because you want to.
And he's done it before at Norwich, the fact that he's gone to League One and done it there as well, so there's some precedent. I've got the new scholars list. Do you want me to read it out?
You're going to love these.
So the return of Cameron Stewart, 2.0. I don't know what position he plays. I really hope he's a left winger, because that'd be great. We've got Anthony Bort.
He's a Polish goalkeeper.
B-O-R-T. So we've got Polish. We could go from Bartman to Bortman.
Yeah, he's the little
Bortman, I like that.
The little pole in the goal.
Yeah.
Ben Weiss, Elkan Baggett, Brooklyn Cabongolo.
He's my favourite.
Brooklyn Cabongolo.
Brooklyn Cabongolo.
He's automatically my favourite player that's ever played the game.
There might be some more.
There's more.
Fraser Alexander, Alfie Cutbush, Liam Gibbs, Cameron Stewart, Harley Curtis, Nyan Mazuria, Xander Siziba, Ola Bello, and Michael Barrick, which is my favourite because that sounds like the Pro Evolution Soccer version of Michael Ballack.
Can we just say again, that name was Brooklyn what?
Cabongolo.
Brooklyn Cabongolo. What do we know about Brooklyn?
Nothing.
We don't even know what position he plays.
No.
We need to know more about Brooklyn Cabongolo. If you know anything, let us know, because I automatically now is my favourite player who's ever kicked football.
Aaron Drynan scored two goals for Waterford.
Speaking of my other favourite player who kicked football, he's now scored about 40 goals in three games, hasn't he, Aaron Drynan? I mean, when's he going to get a chance? Proving himself at the highest level in Ireland. Time for him to come back and smash
sometimes
a few goals.
Sometimes the answer can be right under your nose.
Exactly.
His international debut for Ireland under 21s.
International credentials now, pedigree.
In the 93rd minute.
Can we invite Aaron Drynan to the end of the season bash?
Yeah, he has to be.
And
there.
Brooklyn Cabalongo.
Cabongolo.
Brooklyn.
Brooksy.
Right, this has been an epic. What are we running at?
What do you reckon we're running at?
I'd say an hour 25.
An hour 28.
It's going to be the longest, I think, one we've ever done, so to speak. Any other business before we wrap up and do some stuff?
No other business. No other business.
Stewie, it's good to have you back.
No other business.
No other business from Stewie. I'm going to go moisturise. Thanks for listening. If you do enjoy what we put out, and luckily quite a lot of you do, Kings of Anger Army, what are you doing? Please subscribe on your various podcast providers. Also, leave us a 5-star review, because I noticed we've not had any 5-star reviews on iTunes since the end of February, and that has to change. So if you could help us out with that helps us with visibility and such. Stewie's about to do something. Do you want me to just carry on talking?
We're done, aren't we? We've got work to do.
Okay, all right, fine. I've got to do the outro, my friend. Okay. I've also got to do the promo read. For your next new or used vehicle, visit johnbanks.co.uk. This has been Kings of Anglia. It's been an epic. We thank you for joining us, and we'll speak to you again.